We've been talking about the Father on and off. We've had Joel talk, and he talked about the Father, the goodness of God. And I'm just going to continue talking about the Father, but I'm not really going with my notes tonight. I'm just going to, it's going to be random thoughts, random directions. And if you need a nice, neat PowerPoint, I'm probably not the speaker for you. I would love to be that organized, but these are things I wrote down during worship. So it's just sort of the way it is. And we have started an era. If you hadn't been here, we've talked about this on and off. I think an era is more than a season, more than a time. There are seasons, there are times, but an era is multiple seasons, multiple times. Only the Lord knows the length of it. But I can tell you, I think it's for this church, I think this era is probably will last as long as I'm the senior leader here. So however long that is. And so this era is one of, I've mentioned it on and off, of just intimacy with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think our phrase that's in the lobby is a perfect phrase, live close to each other, but also to live close to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is a thing that I know is the calling on Relationship Church in terms of us individually and also our message to the region. A week and a half ago, I spoke at Northwest. 2 weeks ago, I was at Living Word Church. Wherever I speak, most of the time when I speak overseas, which isn't too much anymore, but occasionally, it's almost always on this message of intimacy. So this is the calling on us. And I really feel this is where the culmination of history is coming to. I don't know if we're in the last days. Well, we are in the last days because Jesus said we were in the last. He was in the last days 2,000 years ago. Are we in the last day? Capital D, no. When will that be? Who knows? But this is a message that he's been building to for since the beginning of man. When in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned and they went into the garden and hid from him behind bushes, his first three words were, "Where are you?" And that was the cry all through, I believe you could count the Old Testament and New Testament was all pivoting people to get back to the place of the Garden of Eden where they were walking in intimacy with Him. And I think it will go even beyond that eventually. I don't think this will happen in my lifetime. Maybe we'll see spikes. Maybe we'll see moments. But there will be a generation, and maybe some of you younger people in here will see it. I believe heaven and earth was, I believe Eden was bigger than just a great place on earth. I believe it was a direct connection between the dimension of heaven and the dimension of earth. And it was one. And that the Father and angels could go back and forth freely. One day that'll happen again. Maybe it won't be till Jesus Christ comes back with the New Jerusalem. But there will be a place because He's not going to take second best than what He built in the very beginning. But a big component of that was intimacy. And we believe in the Word of God here. We're big on the truth. We're big on learning His principles. But you realize in Adam and Eve, none of us knows exactly what went on. All we've got is little bits and pieces. But this was before the law. This is before all of the Bible. This is before the Scriptures. But they were with God one-on-one in such a place that they knew His ways and His thoughts because they could walk so closely to Him. I have high reverence for the Bible. I believe in the inerrancy of the Scriptures. I believe in all of that. But sometimes if we're not careful, it can be a substitute for His voice. It can be a substitute for knowing Him. We can hear His voice in there. But you got to realize even for the first 300 years, all the Christians had from Jesus' death to Constantine making an organized religion, and thereafter where they put the Bible together, all they had was these letters floating around. But they were on fire. their heart was burning, and they were turning their world upside down. You cannot do that by principles alone. Principles guide you, but there's something about being in His presence, hearing His stories, His testimonies. And I know the next era for this church, at least while I'm the senior leader here, is to teach people to move into intimacy with the Trinity, because I really believe that's the end time message. It's not the Antichrist. It's not the beast. If you focus on that, you will get discouraged. You will get fearful. You will get depressed. What you focus on is the new Jerusalem that has made herself ready, like adorned herself as a bride that's coming out of heaven. And that new Jerusalem is being built right now. And when that thing comes down, forget the rapture. Forget all this jazz. He is building. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but if we focus on that, you'll get your focus wrong. He is building a new Jerusalem, which is us, a city made by God that He promised to Moses way back when. And when that thing comes down, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God. And those that have walked the best that we know how in holiness and purity will be right there with them. And so that living close is a theme. We're going to teach the Bible, don't get me wrong, but it's a theme we're going to commonly come back to, because He's looking for a place to rest among His people. Looking for a place to rest. People come together as a church where we can just enjoy one another and enjoy Him in the middle of it. Sometimes if we're not careful, and this is how I've spent a large part of my life, we interpret busyness even in ministry for intimacy. And that verse in Revelation, and I didn't write it down because I just wrote these notes down as we're sitting over there. That verse in Revelation, some of you may know it, and if you do, you can call it out, where it says at the end time of the great judgment, He said all these great charismatic things you did, wasn't even denominational things. You healed the sick. You cast out devils in My name. But I never knew you. If we're not careful, we can be busy about the ministry and even His gifts and Him moving through us and not know Him. And those are important. He gives us those things to bless the world. But those things are only to be introductory points to the person behind the deliverance, to the person behind healing. And He's bringing us to the place that when we do healing. I'm all for it. When we prophesy, when we do deliverance, do all of that. And as soon as they get delivered, they say, let me tell you, you can have a relationship with the Trinity. What's the Trinity? It is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You can know them and know their voice. And that message we all know in the church, but He's bringing us to a place of reality in it. I believe I was 39 years old. I can't quite remember the time because I didn't write it down. And that's been 2.5 decades ago. But sometime along, and so somewhere around 38 or 39, I'd already been a pastor here for 4 or 5 years, depending on how old I was. And I was teaching on the Father's love even back then. And I was teaching on it, I remember, for about 3 years, regularly, the Father's love, the Father's love. And my teaching was good. My teaching was right on. There was no way that I don't think probably I could have improved, at least theologically, on the teaching. So that was 2.5 decades ago. And then and I didn't even know what I didn't know. I went to, with a group of men here, I don't know, that was so long ago, I don't know if Mike or Chuck went with us. We went to a Jack Frost conference I don't remember where it was, one of the retreat centers, South Carolina, North Carolina, somewhere. It doesn't matter. And Jack Frost was teaching, and he's passed on now, but he had some of the seminal books on the Father's love and our growth journey. That's an optional book. It used to be a acquired book, but Embracing the Father's Heart. And he was teaching. And I don't know what happened, but the knowledge went from my head to my heart. I'd been teaching all the things, doing the best I knew how, going after it, and it went from my head to my heart. And all of a sudden, I experienced and felt in my emotions the Father's love. And I cried like a baby for like 30 minutes. Just cried and cried. And it was uncontrolled because something finally broke in this division between my head and my heart. Because we can often say, I'm pulling out some notes and I'm going to sort of spontaneously go through. And so, and that's why I speak on it so much. Well, we understand it. We know it. And we've heard these points regularly. And you're going to hear it regularly for the next decade as we talk about it in different ways. But I'm looking for everyone to encounter, not just understand. And ever since that point, I was doing everything out of law to some degree. I was doing everything out of doing it right to some degree. But then all of a sudden, I don't need to do this out of law anymore. I don't need to obey this out of being right anymore. It has become second nature. It's not that I always did it right, but all of a sudden I understood how, at least in this one area of affection. And it started showing me and breaking down things. And so that's why I speak on it regularly, because you never know who needs not just knowledge of the Father's love, but it to go from their head to their heart till they finally understand. Because the Father has such a bad reputation. He's out to get you, judgmental, condemning. And it's just not true, or else you wouldn't be here. Okay? He would have judged you into oblivion. He would have condemned you into oblivion. And he's echoing 6,000 years later from the Garden of Eden, "Where are you?" It says in Isaiah 40:11, if you want to turn there or just walk it down. And so our goal here as individuals, as a church, is to introduce people not to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, but the person of the Holy Spirit. A person, as psychologists or doctoral students would say, has to have a will, intelligence, and a personality. And the Holy Spirit has a will, intelligence, and a personality. One of the first things he showed me when I moved up here 30 years ago, he said, "This place worships the Trinity." Now listen to me carefully. I didn't believe it at first, but after a while I realized it was true. He said they worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. And they have a doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And we've been hitting this for 3 decades now, and I'm seeing it change. I'm seeing it starting to change where, they're not going to say they're going to worship the Holy Bible, but functionally how they lived. The Holy Bible is awesome. We're not putting it down, but it's a tool to be used to point us to the Trinity. But it says in Isaiah 40:11, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." This is a hard concept for people that grew up without an emotional father, which is probably most of us in this room, because most of us had fathers in the after World War II generation. It was harder. Had been through World War II. Some of them had been through the Depression, how old you are. And it was just tough times, and they lost their joy. They lost their way. That was the only way they could survive to certain degrees. And so I get it. There's no blame. But it did affect us because we're not used to seeing males emotional. We're not used to seeing males affectionate. Now, I'm not telling you if you're not naturally affectionate to change. But your father wants to be affectionate to you, and to show his love over you and his care over you and his concerns over you. And some of us, that's just a foreign concept. And so if you're there, just start regularly saying, "God, Father, you are a good God. I may not understand you, but you are a good God. And I follow you no matter what." and show me your heart for me and increase my love for you. Let it be reciprocal. Because it is reciprocal. A lot of us, it's sort of, especially for guys, probably not girls, unless you've been in an abusive father situation or whatever, even if you've even had a father, it may be very hard for you. But it's to start going, Father, this thought even scares people. I want to experience your affection over me. And you can trust him that he will not abuse you. And then learn to start saying you love him back. Some of you that's easy. Some of you it's hard. Just repeat, say, I love you, Father. I appreciate you. I'm glad you're in my life. And this may be old hat to some of you, but in a crowd this size, some of you, we've thought it, we knew it, but we've never said it. Start doing it, and it starts producing a feedback loop. And it'll start slowly making you whole emotionally in the right way. The Chosen, four seasons of The Chosen. You know, there's no way everything that happened in there was right because there's a lot of made-up stories. But I think the spirit was great and a lot of it was good. But one thing that really touched me, if you haven't watched it, I'd encourage you to watch it. Don't get on a doctrinal bandwagon now. It's not the point. If you want a doctrinal bandwagon, then just read the Bible. Okay, and that's okay. You go and watch the spirit of what's happening. And one of the biggest things I've picked up is the guy that's playing Jesus, because they wrote it into the role, and I know he's acting, but it really is how affectionate he was towards his disciples. And how affectionate in the way he talked about his Father. It's almost like he was always in the room with them, wherever he went. And so that is a great principle. That is a great lifestyle. And so, even though I'm not giving you heavy revies here, this is a heavy revelation. This is a heavy revelation that I want to see Northwest Georgia. That's why I'm here. I am not here because it's a beautiful city. The city sucks. I love the topography. I like Fort Mountain. I like where we live. But just drive around. It's just factories everywhere. Okay, it doesn't suck if you like warehouses. If you're into warehouses, you have made it to Mecca.
Stop the recording, please.
You just woke everybody
yeah,
up.
I did. I mean, it's not. I mean, when you know, I've been to some of the most beautiful cities in the world. You can name tons of them. You know, you go to Chattanooga, that's a pretty city. You go to Atlanta, it's a pretty city, unless you're in the inner city. But you get my point. There's not a lot of prettiness about this city. But let me just give you an insight. I know y'all have heard this. It's been here a little while. When I moved here, the Lord said this, and it's obvious. This is one of the most religious areas around. What do I mean by religious? They go through the motions, and I'm not sure how well they know the person behind the principles. Amen. They know them to some degree, but everybody's trying. I don't think there's anybody on purpose going, I'm not going to know God. I'm just going to follow His principles. Everybody's trying. And the Lord showed me, He said, the only antidote to a religious spirit is intimacy. And I honestly believe before I die, whenever that is, hopefully it's a long ways off, there is going to be pockets, more than pockets. There's going to be huge swaths of the city that may, in the natural, since I gave it such a bad name, may just be warehouses and terminals, which all give us jobs. I'm happy for that, okay? It is going to be a beautiful city in the spirit. And there's going to be, and it's going to match the topography around here is gorgeous. It's going to match the topography, geography around here. And this is going to be a place, I'm just telling you, that is dear to God's heart, that has overcome this stronghold of a religious spirit. And they know principles, but even more than that, they know the person. It is going to happen, and we're going to see it, and we have to start seeing it with our eyes, and I'm starting to see a little bit of it now. I'm just referencing this chapter, 1 Kings 18. If you want me to bring it up, I can. But this was after Elijah defeated Baal on Mount Carmel, and 450 Baal worshipers or priests were killed. And Elijah told his servant, and there'd been a drought. Remember, one of the things Elijah said, there's not going to be any more rain till I say so. Just as a side note, I've not seen it yet, but we're going to see prophets that do not care about how many followers they have. We're going to see prophets that are not out to make money off their book deals. We're going to see prophets, if you make money off your book deals, I don't care, but that's not the primary purpose. There's going to be prophets raised up in this nation that have been in the caves, and they know God's voice, and they're not intimidated by man's voice. And they're going to declare things. I don't know what they're going to declare, but we're going to see a rise of prophets that have that much authority to declare whatever God wants over this nation, good or bad. And it's going to come from a place of intimacy in that cave. A cave is a metaphor, not a literal cave. Maybe it's a one-room apartment or maybe it's a 50-room mansion, but they're there. They've secluded themselves to God. The place is not... They're out there now. I'm telling you, they are out there. And when they speak, they're going to be very, very divisive. What's the proof? The proof is in their words, and it's coming. But Elijah said to his servant, he said, there's not going to be any more rain until I say there's rain. And then, so this is the time where he's about to say it's rain. He told his servant, go out and look to see if you see any rain clouds coming. He came back and said, no, I don't see any rain clouds. He said, go look again. He went again. He said, well, I see something. Maybe that's a rain cloud. He said, go look again. Eventually, he saw a rain cloud that was the size of a man's fist. He ended up being sent seven times. That's prophetic. He ended up being sent seven times, and he says, yes, there's rain coming. And when he saw it on the seventh time, everybody, this is my point, everybody could see the rain coming then. Us that want to be close to the Lord, to know His ways, John 15:5 says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends that I'll show you my ways. Start asking the Father. Anybody can see it when it's huge, when it's coming like it went Tuesday. I don't know if it happened anywhere else than West Whitfield County, but my gosh, it was like, bam, wind was going crazy, huge storms, lightning. I was out there on the zero turn radius. I saw the lightning coming. I'm going, you know, this is stupid to be on a zero turn radius when the lines come. But you know, I'm stubborn enough. I wanted to get the yard mowed. And I stayed on that thing and probably tempted God, but I lived through it. Now, when the rain fully came down, I went into the barn, okay? So we could all see it coming then. But I'm just telling you, prophetically, I'm seeing it start to happen in this region. You have to have spiritual eyes. I travel in enough churches, hear enough, that you're starting to see these elements of people. They're going, principles are great, but the presence is better. And they're going after it the best that they know how. And He is building a place in the center. Well, there's other centers. But in this heavily, I'm not going to say it's the center, it's not. But in this heavily religious area, He is going to build a place. And there's a rainstorm coming, which is symbolizing the Holy Spirit. That people in other areas where it's not, it's going to go, I don't know what's happening over in Northwest Georgia. But I've heard that if you go to almost any church, you're going to get your answer when you just walk in. Amen. Now we see a little tiny cloud off in the distance here, a few other churches. So we can get discouraged by the tiny cloud. But I'm telling you, most of my time here, I didn't see nothing. Maybe I was just blind. Probably it. But it's the rain clouds are coming. And it's not just to do cool stuff. It's to be a resting place for the Holy Spirit in intimacy and knowing His voice. Amen. I didn't talk long, but I'm done. That's my randomness. Maybe you thought I talked long. I don't know. You may be right.